desperation. You have climbed, you have fought, you have won. But this valley that lies coldly before you casts a shadow you cannot overcome. And just when you thought you had all together, you knew every verse to get you through. But this time the sorrow broke more than just your heart, and reciting all those verses just won't do. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer. Aren't enough, he is there. Instead of asking why did it happen, think of where it can lead you from here. And though to live is slowly easy, find a greater reason to live your life triumphant through the tears. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He's more than just an answer to your prayer. And your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, he is there. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer.
Our scripture reading is found in Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For she proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who retain her.
Good morning, church. This guy's working. I want to thank each one of you for making the trip, for choosing to be here today. Thank you. Let us open our are joining here in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this moment to share. Thank you for being here in your presence, for guiding us, for teaching us. We ask that you open our minds, that we receive that which only you can reveal, that you anoint each one of us, that we may hear the message. Use me as a conduit, but let your voice be heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to introduce you to a young man named Jonathan. He has just been awarded as the lead foreman on a major building project. He has been tasked with overseeing a crew for the first time. There's lots of moving parts, safety concerns, and tight deadlines. At first, he feels confident, but as the days go on, pressure arises. One evening, he stays late on the site, and he calls his project manager, and he admits, "I'm afraid I'm in over my head." His project manager says, "Jonathan, real leadership is knowing when to lean on others. Ask yourself for help." Asking for help builds trust and connection. In that moment, he realizes that leadership isn't about knowing all the answers. It's about being brave enough to ask the right help when you need it. Today, we're looking at a story of a young man who, because of his responsibility, is in need of help. We are reciting from 1 Kings in chapter 1. We find King David at this time, he's about the age of 70. He's alone in his bed, unable to stay warm, and seeking seclusion. Feebleness and age set in, and leaving him in need of a successor. All the hardships and exposures of his early wanderings and his many wars, the cares and afflictions of his later years, have sapped the fountain of life from him. It was at this moment that his son, Adoniah, thought that he would take the place. He thought he would claim to be king. Now, Adoniah was a very handsome young man, but he was reckless and lacked discipline. He thought that if he would show his father a desire for the throne, that his father would cave to his desires. King David, unaware that this was going on, unaware of his son's mischievousness, was soon made aware. News was brought to him about what was happening. Though David was old and ill, he still maintained full cognitive function. And at once, in hearing this news, he sent his guard and his mighty men with his son Solomon to anoint him and proclaim him as his successor. This was fulfilling the divine decisions from God. Now, at this moment in Solomon's life, he was somewhere between the age of 12 and 20. Very young, very inexperienced. He lacked the wisdom and knowledge to govern a kingdom. Could you think back to when you were, say, around the age of 19 or 20? Would any of us been ready for this kind of a responsibility? Or could you imagine having a 20-year-old as the president of the United States? Would the citizens be able to really trust in his leadership, in his youth, in his lack of experience? He would need to rely on the experience and counsel of others for a guide. King David didn't leave him to figure it out on his own. He gave him the best advice a father could give a son. Let's look at what King David told Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And we read, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, 'I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the laws of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do. And wherever you turn, the Lord may fulfill his word, which is spoken concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart, with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel.'" Let's take a moment to think about what this advice actually means. Breaking it down a little bit, what does it mean to walk in his ways? To walk in the ways of God. In the Bible, walking often symbolizes one's lifestyle or conduct, reflecting one's relationship with God and adherence to his teachings. It signifies the choices and actions of an individual in alignment with his faith, as seen in phrases like walking in the Spirit or walking in the light. The act of walking serves not only as a depiction of daily conduct, but also as a profound metaphor for one's entire spiritual journey, requiring intentionality, effort, and reliance on God for the direction and strength. Solomon was also told to walk in God's statutes. It sounds much the same, but walking in God's statutes is meant to live according to his commandments, decrees. It's reflecting his character in your daily living. It involves obedience, faithfulness, and a life that honors God's will. God's statutes are presented in the book of Psalms as a path to life and to blessing. The church, as the body of Christ, is called to uphold the teachings of God, of God's statutes, equipping its members to live out their lives, to live out their faith, in a world that often opposes biblical values. Solomon was also told, walk in the judgments of God. Understanding the significance of judgment in the Bible is crucial for our walk with God. It involves not only discerning right from wrong, but also ensuring we act justly, mercifully, and with humility towards others. God's wisdom guides our judgments, urging us toward fairness, love, and grace. The fourth was God's testimonies. Walking in God's testimonies involves a commitment to live according to his character and his commands. It is a journey of faith that includes trusting in God's promises, following his commandments, and reflecting in daily life his character. This means living in alignment with God's ethical and moral standards, as well as his overarching plans revealed in his word. It requires covenantal obedience, heart posture, and a lifelong commitment to live under divine authority. In less words than that, this is what King David was telling his son Solomon. Let's press the fast forward button and move to after King David's death, where the Lord comes to Solomon in a dream and said to Solomon, "Ask, what shall I give you?" We can read this in chapter 3, in verse 6 through 9 of 1 Kings. And Solomon answered God's question, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him. You have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous and to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" If the Lord came to any one of us in a dream and asked us that question, what would we ask for? I think probably our minds would go to the most prominent need. Maybe it's a more reliable vehicle, a better house, a new job. But Solomon asked for wisdom. You see, Solomon was handed over everything that his father had. His armies, his wealth, his lands, his servants, his kingdom. Solomon, at the age of 20, was given everything he could possibly want. He really lacked nothing, say one thing. He knew that in his youth, he didn't have the understanding, he did not have the experience to rule a kingdom. Neither would I. He paid close attention to his father's teachings, that he walked as his father did. God would grant him the blessings that he blessed his father with. So wisdom. Wisdom was the request. Now, what's the difference between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? From a biblical standpoint, knowledge is the biblical sense, refers to the accumulation of facts about God, his character, and his word. It involves learning scriptures, understanding God's commandments, and recognizing his works in creation and history. Understanding goes deeper than knowledge. It's the ability to perceive the meaning and significance of what is known. It allows believers to see connections between truth and discern God's will in specific situations. Now, wisdom is the practical application of knowledge and understanding. It enables you to make decisions and live in a way that honors God, navigating relationships and circumstances with integrity. In short, these three virtues are interrelated. Knowledge provides the foundation. Understanding interprets it, and wisdom applies it to life. The Bible emphasizes that all originate from God and are accessible to those who seek Him earnestly. We can read that looking at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. It reads, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge of God." That was Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. James 1, 5 says, "If you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously." And Proverbs 9:10 says, "Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." We can find many other verses, but in these three verses, they show us that all three of these attributes come directly from God. So that's what Solomon's request was: divine wisdom from God to judge rightly. He knew he was insufficient in his own strength, and for the responsibilities entrusted to him, he longed for a quickness of mind, a largeness of heart, and a tenderness of spirit. You see, when we ask God for wisdom, it's more than seeking cleverness and knowledge. It's a posture of surrender. It's recognizing that our own understanding is finite, and that God, in His infinite wisdom, He sees the beginning from the end. To ask is to say, "Lord, guide my steps. Give me clarity beyond what I can perceive. I surrender my pride, my quick judgments, and I wait on you." James tells us that God gives generously when we ask Him, when we ask Him in faith. Thus, asking for wisdom means we trust God to shape us, even when the answers take a lot of time. It's an invitation to walk step by step, depending on His wisdom, not just for decisions, but for the transformation of our hearts. When Daniel was called to the king for the telling of the dream and the interpretation of, what did he do? He called upon God. He asked for time that he may consult with God for the wisdom and clarity to address the matter. The Bible, the scriptures, are full of histories of men who called upon God. So Solomon answered God asking for wisdom, and God answered him. Verses 10 and 14 of 1 Kings chapter 3, God answers and says, "This speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked life for your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you. Not before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any like you among the kings of all your days. So if you walk in my ways, keep my statutes, my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. What an answer to such a humble request. David was putting others before himself in what he asked for. He was not thinking of his own wants, desires, and needs. He wanted to do for God in God's wisdom, God's ways. His words here are an example for us all to live by. All of us who are entrusted in doing the work of the Lord. And that includes each and every one of us here today. We are the church, not just a building. We are the church. The people are the church. He started out, Solomon started out by recognizing what the Lord had done for his father and the reasons why. He recognized that God honored his word to King David, and that if his sons would walk in his ways, David would have a successor to take the throne. He also acknowledged his age and lack of wisdom, lack of knowledge to rule people of Israel. He was humble. And that's where we start. We need to be humble before the feet of Christ. We need to acknowledge our own weakness of strength and lack of knowledge. And from a right heart comes the request that God's waiting to answer. In closing, we need to remember that the words recorded in James 4 in verse 2 and 3, and I'm just going to read that, recite that. You do not have because you do not ask. You do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss. We do not ask God with the right motives, the right intention. And when we do, God's waiting there to answer. We've heard it said that God knows your heart. He knows the motivations. That's the embodiment of that statement. By asking God for things that are in line with his will and living a life that is honoring to his word, we are building that connection with God. How great will the blessing be for us when we humble ourselves with an obedient heart, seeking the same from God? How many of us here today desire with all our heart a change in our life? How many of us are ready to take that step in complete faith to ask God for the wisdom that no earthly education can provide, the wisdom that comes only from God himself? Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this history of this youth that called upon you in the face of a responsibility that was much bigger than his own understanding. Thank you for providing us a way of communicating to you our needs. We ask, Lord, that you strengthen each one of us when we're put in a place of responsibility that is bigger than us, that we remember you. We remember that your ways, your abilities are far outreaching anything we can perceive. Give us that which fulfills us and allows us to carry on in your will, in your way, to walk as David did, to walk as Solomon did, in truth, in obedience to your statutes, to your ways, to your testimonies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.